Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? Going on?
Chris, I've been watching a lot of men reviewing expensive batteries on the internet this week. I'm obsessed with turning my house into a big battery festival that can be turned. Even though I never lose power, the power here is pretty good.
Personally, I'm a man of great power. I never lose.
Yeah, they said first you get the power, then you get everything else. But I'm basically watching a lot of these off-gridders talk about sort of massive mobile battery setups, and I'm just a bit concerned that I just don't have enough massive batteries in my life. I need more batteries.
You do. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility, Pete. Use that power wisely. Enough of the word. Yeah. Speaking of power, I got 3 million subscribers in it on YouTube.
Hey!
Hey!
Well done, Chris.
It means nothing, really.
Cakes in the bust.
It's good because, like, whenever people used to meet me, they always go, well, how many subscribers have you got? And you'd be like, well, a little bit over 2, almost 3, 2.76. You know, well, yeah, you can't be like, right. Oh, I have 2.85 million. You have to round it up.
Yeah,
down.
The road between, 1 and 2 and 2, well, 0 and 1, massive, 2, 1 and 2, probably less so, but then 2 and 3. I mean, it has to be slow progress because that is an ungodly amount of people.
It is. I must say, though, the biggest one is from 0 to 100,000. I think once you've got 100,000, it's a lot easier to get views and build up, right?
Right.
And then from a million, it's kind of like, But I think getting 0 to 100,000 is the hardest bit, and I think that took me the longest. Although it did take a while to get from 2 to 3 million. And I don't really care about it. I'm never like, I need subscribers, or I die, I combust. I just want to make the videos as good as I can. And if you ever get into YouTube, if you do this, just focus on making the videos good, and you'll naturally build an audience of people who appreciate the things that you make. And that is way more important. I have lots of...
And the money.
The money is better if the views are good, no doubt about that. And you can do bigger things, right? But, like, there's plenty of channels that are bigger than Abroad Japan subscriber-wise, but we get the most consistent viewership, and we have the most amazing audience, as far as I'm concerned. You don't sound convinced, Pete. I just think
that sometimes you could do with taking your top off a bit more. Give the people what they want.
Why do that when I can do that with Connor? Connor can just be topless in a bathtub. Give the people what they want. Get Connor topless. And speaking of Connor, it's essentially Connor the month, because not only is there a Connor Wacky Weekend that's out now, not only is the Cyclothon 2 video out 1 year late, or 1 year finally. But also, I'm doing another Cyclothon, which you guys might know about, where Connor and I are cycling, probably right now, as of the launch of this episode, cycling for 14 days from Yamaguchi all the way to Tokyo, with an average, I think, of about 80 to 100 kilometres per day. And I don't know why I said yes. God forbid.
I don't know why you said yes, because especially because you've wronged Connor recently with the old tent thing. Come so on. he's going to be absolutely rinsing you for all you're worth, sunshine. You're in big trouble.
Yeah, I really hope he's not got anything like up his sleeve. I mean, the cycle's going to be tough. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Like the end of the last one, I don't know publicly how much people know, but like at the end of the last cyclethon, like we were both sort of ruined, and I think we enjoyed it, but there was also a lot of like problems. The weather was really bad. The route was pretty bland. The mountains were relentless. I didn't enjoy it so much, and I don't think Connor did either, and it was all a bit like, we sort of finished it, and it was a thing, we didn't talk about it. Although, very proud that we were able to raise, I think, $500,000 for the Immune Deficiency Foundation, the same charity we're fundraising for this time. And that was really cool. But it sort of broke us a little bit, and I think we were naive to go from one cyclothon, really successfully in Hokkaido, to doing another one in quick succession down in Kyushu so fast. Really, we should have waited a bit longer, but... regardless, the video, I've just finished working on it with Paul, who edited it and filmed it and did a great job with it. And I did all the voiceover for it. And it's actually not that bad watching back over it. There were some really nice moments from our trip around Kyushu, but the journey was relentless. And when you're cycling in the rain, you really do just want to die. It's really thoroughly unpleasant.
It's chilly, it's sweaty, it's just all... Because you're wearing a lot of waterproofs as well, and that really keeps the water in and out.
Well, like, I remember it started raining, and my shoes got soaked in about 6 minutes, and we had, like, 8-9 hours ahead, and my feet were wet the whole day, and, like, wet feet, it's just the most unpleasant thing.
It's right? Something absolutely...
Oh, so bad.
When me and you did cycled into Kyoto for a very short period of time, I was like, this is... All right, we can yuck it up for the camera, but this is exhausting. It really is, isn't it?
We drove around in a circle in Kyoto, lost because we didn't have a proper map, if I recall. Yeah. Using only paper maps.
Our map got wet.
It did get wet. Paper map in the rain, my God. But no, I'm looking forward to this. We've got some guests joining. There's Pete's joining, and he's actually cycling this time for, I think, 2 days. Oh, wow. Natsuki's coming. We've got Garn of Trash Taste fame, and we've got PewDiePie of YouTube fame. So there's a range of interesting guests joining to spice things up a bit. But, you know, the last cycle, at the end of the 8 or 9 days of cycling, we were both like, fuck this, or we're done. And to think that this time we'll get to 8 days and then we've essentially got to do it all over again is a little bit worrying, not going to lie. Mm. And just to make things worse, Connor has like booked out Tokyo Tower. That old tower, like you do. And we're just going to cycle up there in front of 100, 200 people at the finish line. So it's going to be
rather
daunting. It's cool, but like, what if I'm like ruined and I'm like, and I'm like pedaling into this like crowd of people? Like,
you'll fucking stink. We know you'll fucking stink because it's starting to heat up a little bit in Japan. But yeah, I mean, you may just sack it off completely because you decide inside and go in a taxi and then drive in through it with a taxi. Hello, everyone. Yes, I've been cycling all this way.
It's gonna be like a terrifying ending. Like, I get a bit nervous of doing public events, right, with hundreds of people, as he would probably as a most normal human beings. And to the idea of doing that while destroyed on a bicycle, it's worrying. It's worrying. I'm not gonna lie, but it promises to be the event of the year if all goes well. And it should be. I imagine this episode is actually coming out after the cycle's underway, so check it out if you haven't already, guys, over on Connor's Twitch, which I've shouted out everywhere. And there'll be a video out on Abroad Japan of the cycle a few weeks after it's done. And this time it is actually coming out quickly. It's not like the second one where we dragged our heels. This is coming out quick, so check it out. And now, a story from Turner from Texas, who says, "Hello, Corpulent Chris and Petunia Pete, long-time listener, former Japan resident. I recently returned to Japan for a 2-week holiday to revisit the onsen of Kagoshima and take advantage of the strawberry season." Just picturing Turner sitting in a hot tub. There's a pile of strawberries. Living the dream. Living the dream. "On my second to last day, I flew into Narita Airport and caught the JR Express train to Shinagawa. A few minutes into the journey, to my horror, I realised that I left my US passport by the machine when I was purchasing a limited express ticket." Oh dear, the worst thing you could leave behind. What was worse, the express train I was about to board made no stops until Tokyo Station, a whole hour away. Thankfully, I was able to call into Narita Airport's lost and found from the train, and luckily, the staff... picked up my passport and confirmed that it wasn't being used for anything nefarious. I love the phrasing on that. The staff like, don't worry, nobody's taken it. Nobody's using it to steal your passport and commit fraud. However, on my return to the airport, more than 2 hours later, I approached the man at the ticket gate and found my Japanese, which is usually more than sufficient to get around, bumbling and incoherent. I eventually managed to eke out saying my name and retrieve my passport so I could finally check into my hotel. Have either of you been so stressed or flustered by a situation in Japan that all your language skills just temporarily vanished? It's very odd and not something I've ever happened to me before. Regards, no. Turner from Texas. Pete, tell us about the time you got flustered when you left your sanity on the bus in Nagasaki.
In Nagasaki, when I left my flat, when I was flustered.
I'm making this up.
Oh, right. I was going to say. I thought you were going to.
You don't get Pete Dawson flustered. He flusters ye.
No, I flusters you. I'm the flusterer. Get ready to get flustered, because I'm the flusterer and I'm coming at you.
Oh, good God.
I left my. I was in Bulgaria over the weekend and I left my.
Of course
my,
you were.
And I left.
Of course you were.
I left my. I'm ticking off Europe. I'm just sorting out before, you know, certain other countries invade others. I'm having them. I'm having them.
Fair so, enough.
Soviet, fair Soviet, enough. Soviet, ex-Soviet ally, Bulgaria. I am very much interested in doing that. And yeah, I left my wallet in Bulgaria, so I'm replacing all of my cards at the moment.
No, you didn't.
The only issue is, I've got my driving licence and I am set to rent a car in a week's time in New York to drive down to
you
Philadelphia.
And how did you forget your wallet, Pete? How did you do it?
I don't know where it went. I don't know. I don't know. A few drinks. I don't know where it went. So yeah, I'm a little bit flustered myself. I've flustered myself, mate. So yeah, I'm hoping against hope that the DVLA, who have so far fucked me over with the old Toyota Century import thing, may get off their behinds and get me a blummin' driving licence, because otherwise.
Were you so flustered you forgot your Bulgarian?
I forgot my Bulgarian. I don't know what the Bulgarian is for it's very Russian out that way, I suppose, isn't it? The old Bulgarian, which is weird because you'd think it'd be like more Turkish because they had all of it for a little while, didn't they? It's very I'm a bit upset, but I didn't realize that like the train for I didn't realize that America did trains. I know, like, because you're famous for not doing trains, Americans. Like, you just don't do them.
True.
Like, we're never using these for passengers. They never work. But I think the New York to Philadelphia train might be okay. It's only like an hour and a bit. Ooh. So maybe I should just do that instead of getting a train.
Do it.
I don't know.
Do it.
I don't know. Anyway,
you,
that wasn't for me to talk about my trip to Bulgaria. But, I mean, it's
good. I think it's good that you're not driving.
Yeah.
If you're driving in America, someone will crash into you with their Cybertruck and it'll be game over. So just stay off those roads. Stay off those roads, man.
Yeah. Chris, when you're flustered, do you lose your language skills a little bit?
I did the other day. What was I doing? I can't remember. I was out filming a video in Hiroshima and I met like a billionaire guy who I was interviewing. A really nice guy who owns like half of Hiroshima. Like you do.
Right.
And my words failed me in the heat of the moment. I was like, why Hiroshima? No. And I just sort of gave up and it was a bit annoying. And I was a bit disappointed in myself. I'd be like when I met...
Japanese?
Yeah, I was sort of saying, what are you doing in Hiroshima?
What are you doing in Hiroshima, mate?
What's going on?
Go on. Let me hold a tenner.
His name's Matsuda-san. He's a descendant of the Mazda family. And he bought a tower overlooking the A-bomb dome in Hiroshima.
Right.
And the view is it's incredible. You've got this observation deck looking down literally onto the dome. It's right next to it. And it feels like you're in the future, looking down on the dome that got like hit by an atomic bomb. And you're just sort of in this like futuristic tower. It feels like I felt like I was living in the future. Because all the pictures of the A-bomb dome, the iconic hall that got bombed in Hiroshima, all the photos, it's just that. And then the city leveled, and then to suddenly be, looking down on it in the skyscraper, it's a bit like, wow, okay, we are in the future. It's a weird moment I had, I don't know. But I love Hiroshima, and we'll talk about that later on when the video comes out, but it was a really good trip. But I got flustered then, and I got flustered when I met Ken Watanabe. Really fucked that big time. Also, I only slept like 1 hour, I think, the night before I met. Ken Watanabe.
Excited. You're excited.
I was excited and nervous. I was nervous about screwing it up and losing the video, as opposed to meeting Ken. It was more like meeting Ken Watanabe was like the biggest deal for me at the time. And I thought, if I fuck this up and lose this opportunity, I will regret it for the rest of my life. So I was nervous about that, right? And it turned out well, and I aced it, even if my Japanese was pretty bad. We got a story this week about a bone-breaking, record-breaking roller coaster in Japan. Oof. That got shut down, sadly, after breaking all the bones. Pete, tell us about why one of my favourite rides at Fuji Q Highland Park at the base of Mount Fuji is now permanently shutting down.
Chris, Fuji Q Highland is a theme park about an hour and a half west of downtown Tokyo. If you like your rides, Fuji Q has got them in spades. And there's a roller coaster that everybody loves. Well, everybody apart from about seven or eight people. called the Dodonpa. Dodonpa. Which sounds like you're climbing the bit in, you know, like roller coaster. Dodonpa, dodonpa, dodonpa.
It's an onomatopoeia. It's not the sound the roller coaster makes, like as it's going.
Oh, well, there we go then. I mean, that very childish, isn't it? The ride was notable due to how and how quickly it reached its maximum speed of 180 kilometres, 111 miles per hour. That is too fast. Instead of having the ride pulled to a high point and dropped instead right at the very start of the ride, a compressed air launch system rockets the coaster's cars to 180 kilometres per hour. In just one and a half seconds, basically. Unfortunately, between December of 2020 and August of 2021... Hang on, that's right in the middle of COVID. Still running? No fewer than five Fuji Q visitors suffered neck or spine compression fractures due to the intense G-forces riders experienced at the ride's beginning. The Dodonpa launch sequence is said to subject the body to about nearly four G's that a fighter pilot would experience. And they try to search for a safety solution. After 2.5 years of investigation, they've just decided that, you know what, maybe don't fire people into the sun at that speed. Probably just slow it down a bit. Put less air in that compressed air canister. But it's still got a few other roller coasters, but this one, for now, is dead to the world. And it's a real shame for people who love compressed spines.
I remember the one at in Thor Park in the UK is called Stealth, I think, and he's like magnets to shoot you down. It was really fun, but I'm not surprised. Like, if you're like in your 40s, this is like a recipe for bad back, having your back smacked in half for that speed, right? It's all, you know, being accelerated those speeds, it's like being in the car with Pete in his old Fiat 500 rocketing through North London. Terrifying shit, terrifying. Reminds me of the Smiler as well. In the UK, famously, a ride literally called the Smiler, like, decapitated some poor girl's leg. And, I was... the irony of the name and the incident can't be missed. But, I was sad that... sad they're getting rid of it. It was a cool ride. I love the sound of da-dom-da-dom-da-dom-pa. It was pretty cool. But the best ride of Fuji Q is still there, and it's the roller coaster itself. The Fuji Coaster, I think it's called. The one where I took Sharla on, and she had a full-blown panic attack because she doesn't like roller coasters. And for some reason, she went on because I was like, yeah, do it, love. Go on, get in a roller coaster, in it. And she went on it. And I think she
really values her spine.
She lived to regret it, forever immortalised, swearing at me and calling me obscene things on the roller coaster. But Fuji Q, really good park, check it out. I think it's better than Disney, but maybe not as good as Universal Studios.
Fair.
We're back just a moment, guys, with the stories, comments and questions over in the fax machine.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week for our listeners, Mr. Dolls?
Oh, we got a message from Gina from the middle of nowhere, Ohio. Hello, Catastrophe Chris and Pandemic Pete. I'm writing today because my significant other and I are taking the big leap and going to Japan. It's being a lifelong travel abroad. We're going to take our first big adventure to Tokyo, Osaka and Hakodate. What I want to ask is, what are your recommendations for finding ryokans or machiya without going through Airbnb? I would love to stay a few nights at something other than the usual hotel. Please suggest some. Your stories have brought so much excitement and entertainment for my life for years. Thanks for bringing some Japan to the remote reaches of the northern US. Chris, what is the difference between a ryokan and a machiya?
Machiya is just like a wooden townhouse, right? Kind of like you find in Kyoto or Kanazawa. So an old-style house. And they're my favourite thing. When I go to Kyoto, I always try and stay in one. They can be a little bit pricey, but if you shop around, you can find, you know, you're at a nice one. But they're just... So you go in, all natural materials, wood and sliding right. doors, light. It's just beautiful.
Asbestos.
Asbestos. Wait, no asbestos.
Delicious asbestos. Okay.
No, fine. It's not Essex. It's great. It's beautiful.
No asbestos. Minimal asbestos.
Minimal. Guarantee. Minimal asbestos. Guarantee.
Minimal asbestos. Put that on the front.
But like,
on the front of the hotel.
Stop talking about asbestos. I'll kill you. And I recommend going on, like, literally, I just go on booking.com because there's lots of Japanese websites like Rakuten, which has the best range of places, but the website is, like, indecipherable and incomprehensible, and it's just shit, as much as I use it. Booking.com's pretty good. Hotels.com, they're both pretty decent for getting the job done. And while, like, 5 years ago, a lot of places weren't on booking.com and hotels.com, now they are. Now they realise that that's the place, like, to be and not just Rakuten Travel. So, yeah, that's my recommendation to you, Gina. Best of luck. Have an amazing time. And I will say, book quite far ahead for Machia, because there aren't that many, right, in Kyoto. They're not hotels. They're, like, renovated houses. There's not that many that are good. So, you know, book as far ahead as you can. Tom from New York says, hello, Grisby. Three friends and I are travelling to Japan in late May, and I've been riding solo the last few days of the trip. Do you have any recommendations or in and around Tokyo, sorry, for a solo traveller? I'm thinking about spending a day in Yokohama and possibly Kamakura and Ebisu. Thank you. Tom from New York. Ebisu's a weird choice. Ain't nothing in Ebisu except a Shake Shack.
Nothing in Ebisu. I don't mind it.
Overpriced burgers that admittedly taste quite good. Yokohama, perfect day trip. Kamakura, I mean, I went there for a video last November, the 14 days in Japan video. Also went there with Sharla recently for a little stroll. No cameras involved. And it was really nice. Kamakura, it's like, it's the quickest way to get to, like, the countryside of Tokyo. And it's about, what, an hour or 40 minutes from central Tokyo. You got the Buddha, you got lots of temples, you got lots of little houses and streams. No asbestos, so far as I know. Kamakura, stunning, man. Any recommendations, Pete?
I like Kamakura, but I was only there for like a couple of days. There's an old cocktail bar that used to be a bank. That's what I remember from Kamakura.
Oh, of course it is. No history or culture for Pete. Just a cocktail bar that was once a bank.
But it's very small and intimate, but it's incredibly famous. And I've just never understood why. Like, the amount of patrons who said they'd be at this bloody bar bank, the bank bar. It can't be true because it's too small. It's too wee.
There you go, Tom. Go to the cocktail bank bar. It does sound quite good, actually. I'll have a good cocktail bar in a bank. And the last question is from Luke, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. I'll be visiting Japan for the second time in October with my lovely wife. We plan on taking the ferry from Hiroshima to Matsuyama, spending a few days there renting a car to drive the Shimonami Kaido through the islands. I know Shimonami Kaido is often talked about as one of the greatest bike rides in the world, but we're too old and out of shape to be able to do that cycling. Do you think it would still be worth it doing it by car? Regards, Luke from Bury St. Edmunds in Suffolk. Very nice sounding village / town. I actually think if you can't cycle it, do drive it. Like, it's still a beautiful route, right?
Yeah,
and you can still pull over intermittently at different points, roadside stops, and enjoy the scenery, take in all the bridges and explore the islands. I do that. or e-bikes, if you're like, if you're like not completely unfit, just get an e-bike, and you got to pedal a little bit, but the bike does some of the work for you. I recommend that. But
Just have a little drive. Get yourself a little care car and just tootle around for a bit if you can.
I thought you said lovely. Just get yourself some drugs.
or Red Bull. Some EPO. Get your blood thinned.
Down 10 Red Bulls, get on that bike and make it happen. Yeah. But best of luck, Luke.
It's Nature's Energy Jelly.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Dr. Jelly, we'll see you three. But you got a video on it. 24 hours in Japan's Inland Sea Paradise, Shimonami Kaido. Check it out. Do drive it if you can't cycle it. For now, though, guys, I don't know when I will see Pete Donaldson again, for I am on a bike for the next 2 weeks. Indeed. 2 weeks on the road on a bike, going near the Shimonami Kaido. But the podcast, I guess there'll be a podcast, me in a room or on a bike. We'll work it out. But for now, guys, have yourself a great few days and enjoy the start of April. We'll see you later on. Right back here to all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Wish me luck on that bloody cycle. God forbid.
Good luck, Chris.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.